Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The February issue of 605 Magazine has hit the racks. Publishers John and Alana Snyder join us now for a preview of the home and living issue, and we'll talk with a focus on the rise of Airbnb homes in South Dakota today. John, Alana, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to see you.
Okay, so February is the month. If there's any month that I'm going to get a little bit gloomy, it's going to be in February. And as I flip through the pages of this magazine, there's all kinds of bright, airy,
yes,
wonderful spaces for me to sort of relax into. Tell us a little bit about the issue overall.
There's a lot of different aspects of home and living. So we have some interior designers from Rapid City, Hayward Design Co., and they're two really talented ladies who go through and do really modern and clean design. And they actually also have a B&B that they put together because of their design that they love. We also have the Airbnb, How to Become a Superhost, and we'll probably go more into that. But yeah, my favorite room, where local designers take us into their favorite room and why they like to hang out there. And it's all about getting cozy.
How hard is it to shoot those spaces when you go into somebody's house that you really haven't been before? Most people don't have their homes set up for a photo shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's it was challenging probably more on the front end a couple of years ago, but now we've learned through mistakes sometimes. We bring a bunch of different suites of lenses, wides, detail shots, things like that. You'd be surprised how much you can do in like post-production to bring up the light, so keeps people from being depressed in February.
Right. Well, and your lenses too. You have the wide that really helps.
Yeah, that does, yeah. I mean, the boring stuff people don't really.
And in my imagination, from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, I just picture these people with this lovely space, and then, like, you know, off camera, that's where they stuff the laundry basket.
Oh, for sure.
Or the litter box or whatever it is that they're like, this doesn't go in the shot.
Well, I always have respect for everyone because they're like, it's, you know, you're vulnerable when you let people into your home. And so we, right away when we walk in, we let them do a like walkthrough with us. And then that's where we have the moments where we're like, all right, what do you want us to shoot? What do you want us to absolutely ignore? And do you have rooms where, like, please don't go in there? And usually there are at least, like, four rooms where they're like, do not go in there. Do not go to the basement. Like, we had one where we took one step down to the basement. They're like, don't go down there.
I think that's important because, you know, when you look at, you know, home, well, you know, a lot of magazine work, it can be aspirational. And it's also important to realize that we're all South Dakotans and we're all humans and we all have the areas that we really don't want you to visit in our houses.
They do everything but put the tape across the door, the caution tape.
But the good part, too, is, like, we did, there are two ladies in Platt who are really talented. And it just so happens they live like a couple blocks away from each other where they do their fixer-uppers. And then they also both happen to have their own sign company where they sell really cool creative artwork. It's Dwell 605 and then Jill Moore at Designs. And it was really neat because actually Jill, of the two, she was just finishing up her home. And it inspired her because she knew we were coming to shoot to finish all of her renovations, or most of them. So she had to hustle. She wrote me like 30 days before and was like, can we drag this out anymore? And I was like, no, I'm sorry. So it's beautiful. So that's also in the issue too.
And you ask about how do you shoot those things? We actually were on our way out to the governor's conference on tourism. So we had an entourage of like five people.
Oh, yeah.
And so plus the people that lived in the home. So there was like six or seven of us that we kept rotating in circles. And I was like, stand behind me. And then we moved to another room and everybody like.
And all the reflections. I always end up standing in the reflection.
There's a lot of shots where I do a little extra Photoshop work because there's Alana like checking her phone or doing something.
Yeah, I'm like notorious for somehow I'm always in the way or always in the picture on the accident. I'm you think after all this
just
time I get better at it.
Save those for an extra art exhibition someday.
Exactly.
Alana in the corner or, you know, something like that.
Can you find me?
Aware. So let's get to this. You mentioned tourism, and let's get to this Airbnb, a portion of this conversation, because I think everybody knows what Airbnb is, but it's not that old, is it?
No, it's not. It's pretty new, and it's more booming in South Dakota than it has been before,
I would say. The last few years have been very big. As you know, we tend to take an extra pass or two at almost anything until it comes to our region. You know, it took us a long time to get ride sharing. So we were a little bit behind just time-wise on that. But Airbnb, we adopted pretty much on pace with the rest of the country. And it's interesting to see how it's been picked up in different, you know, municipalities and all that kind of stuff across the state in different ways, regulated and unregulated. And
so for people who aren't familiar, explain exactly how it works.
Sure. Like if you want to go stay, let's say in Platte, like we talked about, you could look at a hotel, or you could say, hey, I'll go to this app. You go to, you know, Airbnb is a major one, but there are others. And it's someone's home that they'll make space for you in. Sometimes you're there and they're there, just different rooms. Sometimes you take their whole home, and it's a short-term rental. They do background checks on both people in a way that everyone's comfortable. You know, people, you know where you're going, you know who's your host, and you know that kind of the terms of staying there. And then you communicate ahead of time, and it's pretty cool.
It's been really, really awesome. And also, too, that Airbnb also has experiences, too. So if you need a place to stay, you can do that. Otherwise, you can actually host, be a host. Like in Sioux Falls, like you could take people around to the falls or whatever you want to specialize in, too, which is really cool.
So you are, in some ways, creating an experience. Either it's an experience where you're off camera that way where you've given them a place to stay and some, you know, some tips on how to sort of navigate the area, or you're fully, you know, a tour guide and kind of helping out with the, do you get to choose that? Is that something that you can just sort of decide?
Yeah. You could just do experiences, or you could just do the house, and you can be as involved or not involved too as a host. Like I've talked to a couple people where, you know, if you want, you know, if they offer, hey, you know, like they've had people from Europe, going to the Black Hills, and they'll say, hey, here's a bottle of wine. You can either enjoy it with, you know, in the basement where you're staying, or, you know, we'd be more than happy to chat with you about the area. And some people like to bond with their hosts. Some people don't really want to know their host is there.
You know, we've stayed the last couple of years in an Airbnb, the same Airbnb out in Pierre when we went to the tourism conference, and they have a bulldog that we've gotten to know. And
we wake up every day at 6 a.m. from the bulldog scratching its ear.
Yeah.
On the upstairs floor. That's great.
But we have a bulldog too, so we can't be mad about that.
That's very true.
So tell us a little bit about who's doing this in South Dakota. Who did you find for the magazine?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting too. Mistin Langenfeld, she owns Ripple's Marketing. And also, is it the Co-op Creative? Creative Co-op?
Creative Co-op and Ripple Marketing, yeah. Just over in downtown here.
Yeah.
Downtown Sioux Falls.
Downtown Sioux Falls.
Yeah, so she actually owns homes that she has the homes just for Airbnb, which I thought was really cool and interesting. So, and then each one has a theme. So one's called like Mi Casa, Su Casa. I cannot remember.
It's got a Southwest feel to it.
Yeah. But she does like full on themes with it, which is really cool. And then she's actually working on renovating a third house. So obviously it must be going well.
So she's picking those themes, obviously not based on geography, but the style of the home.
Right.
Is kind of what she's being inspired by. How important is that to sort of have something that distinguishes your story in the Airbnb market to get people to be drawn toward it? It's a cozy cottage. It's a, you know, it's a lake house. It's a Spanish themed place. Does that matter?
Oh, for sure. I think it really creates the need and want. Like you want, you know, when something's like running out or something, you want that thing. So I feel like the bigger the theme or the cooler, the more creative you get with it, the more people are going to want to stay there. I'm assuming it would probably bump up where people can find you, the more popular it becomes. Like Mistin's a super host. She got bumped up to that because of how many positive reviews she's had and how many stays. And I know she gives tips in the issue about creating different moments too, with, you know, having, she'll leave a stocked fridge, she'll leave coffee, she'll leave some drinks for people, she'll leave the important information about travel, Netflix, like everything really kind of comes into account.
Yeah, I just want to be known as a super something. So I'll work on that. But yeah, no, it's a pro and a con too. If you get really specific, maybe somebody's not into that motif or that look, then they might look elsewhere. So
right. In order to justify putting that kind of effort into it, it has to pay off with, you know, people coming in and staying and paying her money. So this is it's not a charitable organization. How does it work out for her financially?
Right. It sounds like it's really working out. I think she had, and I could have this wrong offhand, but over 170 stays last year.
Across her properties, I think.
Yeah, across her properties.
It was fully booked for what she was opening, you know, for, right? Is that how I read it in the magazine? That she'd basically hit her goal, essentially.
And that's the thing, is you don't have to always let someone in. You could do this once a month, once a quarter. You could, you know, if you're, let's say you're out in the near Sturgis, you could do it just for the week of Sturgis and probably, you know, charge a few thousand dollars for what you would normally charge, $100 a night or $150 a night.
Right. It doesn't have to be a standalone property. It could be, like you said, a space in your house or a portion of your... All right. So this is also, what I, as I was looking through the magazine, I was thinking this is also fun for some of these people in the sense that I don't particularly find... I like looking at other people's decorating. It's not something I put a lot of effort to on my own. But this is also, it's a business opportunity, but it's a creative outlet as people play and design and photograph and create stories around their properties as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really inspirational for me. I usually go clean my house every time I go do a house shoot because I judge myself when I'm there because, I mean, obviously you're seeing the house in its best form, but again, everyone should know it's not, doesn't look like that every day. Right. But it's always nice to see, like, adding some plant life, some artwork, just seeing the personalities in everyone's home is really, really cool to see.
Yeah. What are some of her tips for being a super host, sort of bumping yourself up to that level?
Right. A lot of it is kind of going back to what you're saying about making money. Just be really careful with how much you're spending. So if you can do, if you're doing some fixer-upper things, work with your partner, whoever, or yourself to do it on your own if you can.
Yeah, we see a lot of that. A lot of... a couple of them were husband and wife teams where they were talking about building certain parts of, inlaid things.
Or they know a guy, or they have a dad, or they have a cousin, or, it's always nice to have a guy somewhere.
We got a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Or a lot of people, sometimes trade, crafts, like artwork or things or photography for, their house.
Yeah, and they thrift a lot. So things that look like modern and really expensive are sometimes some of the cheapest stuff to get because, as trends come back around, people are on top of that.
And mix it up too with some maybe like IKEA pieces that they kind of look cool, but say someone should, it doesn't happen very often, but if someone should break it, you're not going to totally be heartbroken. So. Right.
And that's another question. What are you folks finding about the people who are coming through? Or they're vetted somehow? Are they having good success with how people are leaving the place when they're done?
Yeah, I think it depends on, too, who you kind of let stay. Mm-hmm. I know Mistin, for her Airbnbs, mentioned sometimes when she has families, that's where they can get a titch messy, but nothing's been really bad.
And people, the cool thing about the program of both sides being rated are, it's just like a rideshare. If you go and you're really rude to your driver, you're going to get a bad rating. And it, mm-hmm. just if you stay at someone's house and you mess it up, that's going to be reflected on kind of this rating system. And so everyone tries to be on their best behavior. And it seems like that's mostly what happens.
Yeah, there was a straw bale house that was in Rapid City. It was one of the coolest Airbnbs I've ever seen. And it had all of this really cool local artwork and this really expensive ukulele up on the wall and all of these super expensive outdoor toys and things like that. And they said they've never had an issue with any of it, which is really neat.
How does this all intersect with the tourism department? Because that has to be what a lot of these people are coming through for. They might be for business, but also might just be to sort of experience South Dakota.
So there's some municipalities that really rely in a more heavy way than on tax dollars from hotels. And there's some that are less. And so... overall, this brings more people in, and getting people to comply with kind of the regular if you have a B&B, like a regular bed and breakfast, you're complying with the same rules and safety rules and everything like that. So, and paying into the tax funds the same way that hotels do for each stay, and so it's a mix of trying to get everybody on the same playing field a little bit. And collecting the taxes where they need to be collected, and then also just bringing more people in. Because I spoke with Deadwood, and they said that without question, the short-term rentals like this have brought more people in. And when they're in, then they're spending money in the towns. They're dining, they're gambling, they're hanging out, they're going to shows, they're doing things. So it's a benefit. It's just trying to figure out weighing all these different parts of it.
So how do folks get started and sorting through what they can do and can't do in their city or town?
Yeah, I think just do a little research online. But really, basically, I don't think there are any too harsh of rules or regulations. It's just kind of going through Airbnb and getting, you have to give them your ID and all this information to make sure that you're legitimate.
They verify the address. And they have really clean ways of doing that and verifying, email addresses and contacts and things like that. And then same thing for if you want to rent. you still have to go through some of those processes to...
you can only talk through the app. You can't talk outside of the app just to make sure everyone's safe. And then they usually ask you for a backup email to send someone so someone knows where you're staying, which is another kind of form of security and all that.
It's better to err on that side of things. I mean, even though we don't really have any issues around here, everybody's nice and friendly. I guess they are trying to avoid certain things in other places.
Still reality.
Yeah.
Right.
How often have you done this yourselves, as staying at different places throughout the state or out of state?
A couple times a year.
Really? I've stayed probably in like a dozen, all the different ways where like that they've stayed down the hall from me. I've shared a bathroom with them. I've been alone. I've been in a really cool one full of art in Minneapolis that it was so cool. But that is another reason why experiences, I'll never forget that room and that house because of all the plant life and all the artwork. And so it's really cool when they put the X, because I've also been to one where literally it's like a mattress and a brown dresser and, you know, essentially basement prison, but it was great.
you knew what you were getting into.
Right.
It's the February issue of 605 magazine. You can find it on racks throughout the state or find it online. The online experience is really very good. I was pleasantly surprised with that today because a lot of magazines, the online experience is not quite as sophisticated as that. So nicely done.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
John and Alana Snyder, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.